and her mother-in-law could eat and survive. But as it turned out, she went to the field that Boaz owned. And as it turned out, Boaz, even though his mother was not a pure-blooded Israelite, she raised him well enough to obey the laws of Israel, especially the laws of gleaning, where you would not harvest certain parts of your field so that widows and orphans and those who were the outcasts in society could receive food. So as it turned out, Boaz happens to be following God's laws well. As it turns out is not just a coincidence, but an evidence of God's hand in this story. As it turns out, God is working through the situation of Naomi and Ruth's mourning and sorrow for the deaths of their husbands and sons, and bringing something out of that. When Naomi finds out that Ruth has been gathering crops in Boaz's field, she gets quite excited. And we're kind of left thinking, okay, why is she excited? And as we continue reading, she says that Boaz is one of our guardian redeemers. Or depending on what Bible translation you use, it might be translated kinsman redeemer. And this is totally foreign to us in the 21st century, but a kinsman redeemer or a guardian redeemer would be a member of the family, a male, likely a brother or cousin of a man who dies, who would come in and he would help the family in need. Sometimes even if his brother was imprisoned or enslaved, he would come and he would pay the ransom price to get them out of slavery. Sometimes he would buy back land that had been sold or lost. And sometimes when his brother would die, he would marry his brother's widow, and their children would be considered children who would carry on the lineage of the brother who had died. This was a responsibility and honor that family had to help each other out and to continue on this heritage, this ancestry that continues through the generations. In this case that we see here in the book of Ruth, Naomi is saying that Boaz can legally marry you, Ruth. He can look after you. He can buy back Elimelech's family land and keep it in the family and carry on the family name. Boaz is our hope to not have to perpetually try to glean grain in the fields for the rest of our lives. He is our hope to actually having an abundant life and not having to suffer as widows. Boaz was a man following God's laws. He obeyed the practice of allowing widows to harvest in the edges of his field. We read that he cared for Ruth and protected her from any of the workers in the fields. But the big question becomes, will he step up and be the guardian redeemer that Ruth needs in order to have a life not left on her own? And there seems to be only one way to find out, to ask him. And so in this strange chapter 3 of the book of Ruth, Ruth goes from wearing her mourning clothes, not mourning like daytime, but mourning of sadness and mourning the loss of her husband. She goes from wearing her mourning clothes to wearing nicer garments. She bathes. She gets ready to go and to meet Boaz. Now, Boaz is out on what's called the threshing floor, where during the harvest time, they would thresh grain. And he would go and do that at evening time, and he was spending the night out there. And so Ruth shows up, and he's asleep. And as he's sleeping, she comes by and cuddles up down by his feet. She asks him to put his cloak over her, to cover her. And no doubt as we read this, there's some kind of weird sexual tension that that seems to be present here. We read it through these North American eyes and we're like, all right, is she just trying to get in with this guy? But what is going on is she is symbolically asking for Boaz's cloak of protection. That as she asks for him to put his cloak over her, she is in some way or another proposing, saying, will you cover me, so to speak? Look after me, protect me. And this moment, despite what might be interpreted as sexual advances, especially from a Moabite woman, especially at the threshing floor, which was notorious for a place where men would hire prostitutes, Boaz responds to her and he says, I know you are a woman of noble character. Everyone sees what you are doing for your widowed mother-in-law, and everyone thinks it's honorable. Can you imagine hearing that as a foreign woman with a reputation of not having the best morals, and all these Israelites saying, do you know what? She's honorable. She's a good woman. Despite any prejudices they might have towards her kind against the Moabites, in some ways, Ruth was out-Israeliting the Israelites. She was caring and showing the character of God in a way that a lot of Israelites at the time weren't. I think sometimes God uses people new to the faith to remind us who have been in it for a long time what faith in God looks like. Have you ever found that? That God uses someone who you may have this perception of them, but then God brings them into the family of faith and changes them and shows you what true faith really looks like in a way that kind of wakes us up from our Christian sleep that we can get into every once in a while. Ruth was a woman that even the Israelites identified as noble character. She got it, even though she didn't grow up in it. And so Boaz, acknowledging this and seeing how great of a woman she is, he says, all right, I'm all for taking you as my wife. But here's the thing. I'm technically not next in line. There's technically someone who's a closer relative to Elimelech that, you know, with all the red tape and stuff, he needs to be approached first to kind of have dibs on the offer if he wants it. And so chapter 4 of Ruth takes place at the gates of the city of Bethlehem, where Boaz goes and he meets with this closer relative. And he says, hey, there is an opportunity for you to redeem the land of Elimelech and to be the guardian redeemer, the kinsman redeemer of this family. And so the guy jumps at the opportunity. Awesome. I can have more land, keep it in the family. Until he finds out that he has to marry Ruth as part of the deal. Now, whether it was because Ruth was a Moabite and he had prejudices that way, or because the property could never truly be his, if he and Ruth ever had a child together, it would go to the child to continue the family line, or if this is just the hand of God, as it turns out, that brought the right people together at the right time, we don't really know. But this man turns down the offer, and so Boaz steps in and marries Ruth. And he redeems the land that was Elimelech's. He provides for Naomi and for Ruth through the rest of their days, being the one that frees them from perpetually having to seek handouts and charity for the rest of their lives. And he gives them a son, gives Ruth a son. and brings into their life the kind of joy that they never thought that they would experience again after the death of their husbands and sons. There's this bright contrast from the beginning of Ruth to its end, where we see at the beginning, the husbands and sons die, and the women are left mourning as widows. But at the end, we see this beauty of marriage and another child coming on the scene, and this joy and hope that comes. Let's read how the book of Ruth ends in chapter 4, verse 13 and onward. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," meaning she has an heir to continue the family line. And they named him Obed. Now, Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. Now, this is significant for us, because David becomes the most upright, upstanding king that Israel ever has. This shows us the transition from Israel descending into moral chaos through the time of Judges to this family bringing about the birth of David eventually, who becomes the king that leads Israel in righteousness for a good period of time. It shows us that there is hope with the king coming. It shows us hope that in the midst of chaos, maybe a king can bring light and hope and righteousness. And from David comes Christ through his lineage, the righteous king who would perfectly lead his people in following God. Now, we read this story and we think, okay, this is great. It's a nice kind of short story to read, a nice little romance. But we can see actually some very important things for our own lives through this. You might be in a season of life where you feel like Naomi in the beginning, where you would rather just be called bitter because that's how you feel. Whether that's just what life has thrown at you, or from even some of your own decisions that have just left you in a spot where you're just mourning for what's going on. You're just tired of what life keeps throwing at you. The beauty for you through the story of Ruth and Naomi is you can see that there can be a redeemer who brings joy into your life in the midst of your mourning and sorrow. The theme of a redeemer coming, like Boaz in this story, but even greater, Christ the Messiah, who comes as our redeemer, takes us, like we've been singing, from mourning and brings joy. That even in the midst of life's situation, we can have a hope and an assurance that we are part of a greater family, because of our being brought into Christ's family. That even though we mourn for a while here on earth, we have eternal joy awaiting us. Or maybe you're someone who, like Ruth, you're new to all this. You didn't grow up in the church. You didn't grow up worshiping God, and this is kind of new for you, and you feel like maybe you're a bit of an outsider. You feel like you're kind of on the fringes, and people might have perceptions about who you are. Know that you are part of the family through Christ. That because of Christ, you are a person that God sees as one with noble character. And that throughout your life, he's going to be working in you to make you more like Christ. And that sometimes as someone new to the faith, someone who feels like an outsider but is being brought in through Christ, you can sometimes out-Christian a lot of the Christians. And we need to be reminded of that for those of us who have been following Christ for a long time. Maybe you're someone who just needs to see God provide for you, like he provided for Ruth and Naomi. I hope this story reminds you that God isn't about leaving people out on the fringes on their own. That he wants to bring people in. He wants to care for them. And in fact, he uses his church to provide for those who are in need. Something else that I think is very important for us to get from this story is that God is about using anybody as part of his grand upper story. Yes, we've zoomed into this story of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, but if we zoom out and see it as part of God's bigger story, where the world has fallen away from God, but God is on this mission to restore it back to him. God has used the son of a prostitute and a Moabite woman to be the parents of what would be the king who he would promise to bring the Messiah from. They have a significant part in God's grand story. I think if God can use them, then he can use you and I. That we might actually have a significant part in what God is doing. That maybe our story of faith might be a significant part of someone else coming to faith as we share our stories with others. As we share what we've seen Christ do in our life with others. And something especially in this story is we see God use people who are willing to serve him. And he uses that to bring about the great things he wants to do both globally around the world and personally in our hearts. God cared for Naomi, the mourning widow, through the compassion and faithfulness of her daughter-in-law, Ruth. It just so happened, or as it turned out, Ruth chose to stay with Naomi. God provided a future and a hope for Ruth through the decisions of Boaz to be someone who follows the law and how he goes about his business. Instead of harvesting all the parts of his field and get a better profit, he decides to leave portions ungleaned because he wanted to follow God's law. And eventually, that comes about by God providing Ruth with a future. And God uses this family to bring about the birth of what would be the king of Israel, who takes this nation out of their dark ages, and eventually the Messiah who can take the world out of its darkness. When we are willing to be used by God, when we are loving our neighbor as ourselves, when we are seeking to honor God with our practices, God is using even that mundane, everyday stuff to bring people to himself. To tie people's stories into his big story. The day-to-day stuff isn't insignificant. We see it even here in Ruth, that it can bring about the birth of kings. Sometimes we find the Bible to be so out there, so other, so above us. But this story of Ruth, this humble short story of some widows and a marriage, can remind us that our humble stories are actually part of something bigger. Let's pray. God, I thank you that by your grace you use us. You use us in ways that can show people what you're like. God, I pray that you would give us the courage to be people who, like Ruth, are faithful to those who need to be taken care of. Like Boaz, we'd be people who would be willing to maybe risk a better profit for the sake of following you. God, that we would be people who would not ostracize and keep on the outskirts those who are different than us, but we would welcome them in and acknowledge them as members of your family through faith in Christ. God, I pray that you would use each of our humble little stories to be a part of your work that you are doing here on earth right now in Montague, in Kings County, on the island, so that your name might be proclaimed, so that more people would come to worship the true King who has come to bring us out of our darkness, and that we might find life and abundance in you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.